What a wonderful moment, what a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I was his and he's mine. Blinded eyes are now open, I can see the light of day. What a great jubilation, the night I got saved. When I got up, I knew I'd been saved. I knew my whole life had been rearranged. Now the one you knew then is not the one you see now. I was lost and I was searching, but thank God I've been found. When I got up, I knew I'd been changed. I knew my whole life had been rearranged. Now the one you knew then is not the one you see now. I was lost and I was searching. Oh, what a wonderful moment, what a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I was his and he's mine. Blinded eyes are now open, I can see the light of day. What a great jubilation, the night I got saved. When I got up, I knew
praise the Lord for his salvation this morning and say it's good to be saved this morning. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't have a testimony like that, or I didn't feel all of heaven come down when I got saved. Well, let me ask you this. Did you pray Romans 10:13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Regardless if you felt nothing or not, the Bible says that you are saved and that God will save you. But I will say this, somewhere along the way, the feelings will accompany that salvation. And I believe, if I don't quote this wrongly, I believe it was Benjamin Franklin who had the kite up in the sky and the clouds were overshadowing it. And he had the string and the key attached to it and all. And make a long story short, someone said, how do you know there's a kite there? He said, because I can feel the tug of it. And every once in a while, you'll feel the tug of the Lord upon the harp strings of your heart. We appreciate that from the Lord, given a no-so salvation. And if you don't know that you know this morning that when you die, heaven will be your home, today is the day to no-so. You need to do business with the Lord if you have any doubts. Well, I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church this morning. Say it's good to see everybody. I wonder if we have any first-time visitors with us this morning. If this is your very first time, would you raise your hand with us? All right, we have a visitor here on this side, and appreciate you visiting with us. And we'll have someone come along and give you some information of the church. We'd like to keep a record of your visit. You can put that in the offering plate as it comes by. Let me say this before we pray and move forward in the service. As we've mentioned for the past several Sundays, our prayer sheet is lengthening daily. We have a lot of people that is either in the hospital, out of the hospital, or recovering. And let's continue to remember all of those folks. But I do want to say it is good to see Sister Melita with us this morning. And she underwent a surgery and had spent some time recovering from that, and she's here. It's good to see the Dailies with us as well this morning. And Jim and Dawn Daly, they're back with us this morning after, Brother Jim is at the Indonesian church ever so often, and different things going on. Let's continue to remember Rebecca in our prayers as she's dealing with cancer herself. And any updates on Miss Rebecca? Just
not till Tuesday.
So just remember her in your prayers. And again, there's so many needs this morning. We would fail to mention someone, but nonetheless, let's remember all of our people. There's many friends of our people on the prayer sheet also that's undergoing hardship, and let's remember them. You know, we may forget a need, we may forget a situation, but we serve a God this morning that doesn't forget. And the Bible even says so in Hebrews that He hasn't forgot the work and the labor of love that we do and show toward His name. We serve a God who doesn't forget. And so let's remember these requests this morning. Remember that tonight is youth service tonight. And Brother CJ will be bringing the message. And our young people will be singing and taking part. And we're looking forward to that. And so you make plans on being with us in the service this evening. And we'll have a great time doing that. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. And we've all taken the time to get up, get dressed up, and now we're here. So let's stay a while, worship the Lord, and see what He has for us this morning. I'm convinced that every single service. Now, I know that whenever the gospel's being presented, it's to everybody. But I'm convinced that each and every sermon is to everybody but a specific person or persons, because the Lord knows your situation this morning. And I know that's why you've come, to get a word from Him concerning your situation. And I want to say confidently this morning that God has a word for you, and we're looking forward to presenting it and seeing what the Lord has. Heavenly Father, we come in no other name but Jesus' name. Lord, I'm glad this morning that You bestow upon us a salvation that is steadfast, secure. Lord, this salvation isn't dependent upon our faithfulness, but it's dependent upon Your faithfulness. Father, we know You're forever faithful, so there's no worries when it comes to losing a salvation. Because God, once we've asked You into our heart, You're there to stay. You're there to take over. You're there, Lord, to shine through. We pray this morning, Lord, that You would take over someone's life. If there's someone here that does not know for sure when they die, heaven to be their home, Holy Spirit, deal with their hearts right now. Nudge them and move upon them and let them know that there is something different about this place, and there's something different about their life, and that they need to do something to make it in alignment with what they sense here today. Lord, I pray that someone would be saved. I pray that a Christian, Lord, would come back to closer fellowship with You, Lord. And Father, for the one that's downtrodden, that's bewildered, Lord, that feels like they're tossed with every wind that comes their way, Father, I pray that the surety of the Scriptures, Lord, I pray that the sweet Holy Ghost would apply these sure Scriptures to their hearts, Lord. Father, I pray that no matter how their boat may be rocking and how hard the wind may be knocking, Father, I pray that they would grab hold of the great I Am and understand that He's in control. He's large and He's in charge. And Father, all our job is to grab hold of what's got a hold of us. You got a hold of us. Help us grab a hold of You. Trust You. Father, leave all of the consequences up to You. We've come to worship this morning, accept our praise. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Choir, would you stand with me this morning? It's good to know that He is still the great I am. Amen. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Church, would you stand? Could we sing about that name that is like no other name this morning? He's the one that we have come to worship and to praise. And there is something about the name of Jesus. You can't speak His name and there not be power. You can't speak His name and there not be peace. And we need peace and we need hope this morning in an ever-changing world. And let's leave the world outside for just a few moments. And would you just concentrate on Him and worship Him this morning? There's something about that name, the name of Jesus. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all but there's something about that name. Yes, there's something about that name. Amen. Thank you, church. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. Again, it is good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And if you are visiting with us, you are our special guest here at Calvary. And we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this morning. Just a couple of other announcements. Please remember Brother Brian this morning. He is in Bowden, Georgia. He's in revival. We'll be there until Wednesday. We want to lift him up in prayer. I know that he would greatly appreciate that this morning. We lift him up in prayer and pray that the Lord would do great things through Brother Brian. He is an awesome minister of God. And we just pray that the Lord would give him souls for his labor there and give him a great week of revival. And please remember Fullerville Baptist Church this morning. We normally, the choir would be going over there this week for their jubilee on Thursday night for our choir appointment. But unfortunately, their sound man passed away this past week. And they will have a service for him on Thursday, a memorial. And so their jubilee will end on Wednesday, so we won't be going there on Thursday, so you can imagine what their church might be going through this morning. So please remember Fullerville in prayer, as well as his family in prayer this morning. I know that they would appreciate that. And also, we have many other prayer requests, I know, this morning, but please remember my mother-in-law, Miss Betty. She was able to come, well, she came to a home from the hospital. Unfortunately, it was not hers, it is mine. She is staying with us for a little bit of time. And she is going to be going for another doctor's visit this probably within the next couple of weeks. And if you would, please remember her in prayer. And we've got some decisions that we're going to be needing to make, it looks like, over the next few days. So if you would, please remember Miss Betty in prayer. I know she would appreciate that. She's going to a neurologist. And so if you would, just please remember her and Terry in your prayers as we make some decisions. And but she's at our home, and she is doing some better. And we thank you so much for your prayers. And she wants the church to say thank you Pastor, thank you for the visit. And church, thank you for your prayers for her. But please continue to lift her up in prayer. Also, please don't forget that tonight is youth service. As Pastor said, Brother CJ, we're bringing the message. The youth will be in charge of the music and the service. And right after the service tonight will be finger foods downstairs, a time of fellowship tonight. That normally would have been next Sunday night, but the fellowship has moved to tonight after the service this evening. So please remember that. And also, there will be a deacon's meeting right after the service tonight. So please remember that as well. It's good to see Brother Harold in the Lord's house with us this morning. Had been going through some difficult times, but good. It's good to see Brother Harold with us this morning. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Yes, I'm sorry.
He didn't say that we're meeting tonight, but if all the women can bring food.
Yeah.
all the women will bring food, drinks, desserts, and stuff like that. And we just wanted, Christy and I wanted to let you know that Bible school is quickly approaching. And if you have a desire to help with that this year, if you'll see Christy or myself. And in the bulletin, it does say Monday through Thursday. That's Monday through Thursday in our class. Our Friday night will be held in here, and Brother Justin will close that out. But I just want you to let you know it does go through Friday. So the dates are in the bulletin. But if you have a desire to help in any way, if you'll just see us. Thank you.
Yes. It is a ministry, and we thank the Lord for that. So there's a sign-up sheet down front if you're interested in getting a copy. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask Him to be in the service this morning. I sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place, and I am thankful for that. It's good to know that you can go to a place and feel the presence of the Lord and just worship together with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's not ever take that for granted. Let's not take that for granted. Brother Charlie, it's so good to see you here with us this morning. Would you take us, Lord, in word of prayer?
my faith alone, sight unknown, yet his eyes were watching me, and the anchor. The anchor still holds, though this ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn.
I have fallen.
Bible says that we have an anchor within the veil that is sure and steadfast. You know, I think about the purpose of an anchor, and that is to get planted so you can stay a while and be unmovable. Like those big ships that drop anchor, they found their destination. They stay a while, but they let that anchor down. Well, the Lord seems fit to let us stay a while and serve Him and being unmovable, because He is our anchor and we're anchored in Him. Paul says that we can be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because we know our labor is not in vain. The Lord that we're serving this morning, that keeps us anchored in, is a Lord that gives us purpose, and we are not aimlessly serving Him, but we are on the path He wants us to serve Him on. And it is with purpose, it is with passion, it is with security. We're anchored in Him. And there's coming a payday someday. And hopefully souls that have been saved on our account, the ministry of this church, will be able to enjoy the reward of that one day in the Lord's presence. And it's just an honor and a joy to serve the Lord this morning. And I'm glad that He holds on to us when we let go of Him. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Mark, Mark chapter number 6 for a few moments. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 6, very familiar portion of Scripture. And there's nothing new that I'll ever preach that you have never heard before. You may hear it in a different way or a different angle, but it does us all good to be reminded of some things from time to time. That way we can receive what the Lord wants us to have. Mark chapter number 6, very familiar story, very fitting with that last song, because we find that the disciples are in the midst of a storm. And some things are taking place there, but also that they make it to the other side. And let me say this before we read, that more times than none, in the time and day we're living in, you're going to hear sermons on storms and trials and adversity. And that's because that's where we live, is on planet Earth, face to face with hardships. And we're to be encouraged when we come to the house of the Lord. There's other times where we come where it's more of a beckoning or a challenge, a direct challenge to our spiritual lives. But this morning, as we're all on planet Earth and we all encounter storms and hardships, that's my intention this morning, is try to encourage all of us. And we'll find this very familiar account of these disciples that are in the midst of a storm. But also, there was something I seen this past week studying these verses, that there are certain elements that these disciples possessed that allowed them to fully pass over to the other side. And also, there were some elements that the Lord portrayed about Himself that the disciples should have apprehended, that would have allowed them to be more at peace in the midst of a sea that wasn't peaceful. So this morning, with those things said, and before we read, I want to bring you a message entitled Essential Elements for Handling Hardships. Essential Elements for Handling Hardships. Again, the Lord has some things in this story that if the disciples were to grasp, then their unpeaceful storm may not have been so unpeaceful. But also there were some things that these disciples did, I believe, that are essential for us. There are some elements that these disciples apprehended that they did that allowed them to handle this hardship in a not so bad way. Essential elements for handling hardships. Look, if you would, in verse number 45. And straightway, chapter 6, verse number 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. When he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Then verse number 52, For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. That's reading Mark chapter number 6 this morning, verse number 45 down through verse number 52. And again, I want to mention some essential elements for handling hardships. There's just some things that are in this story, very simple, basic things that if we can really grasp, I think that it'll help us when we're going through the difficulties of life and hardships. Number one, I want you to notice in verse number 45, we see Jesus' instruction. Jesus' instruction. He says in verse number 45, And straightway he constrained his disciples or compelled his disciples to get into the ship, and notice this, and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. So we see this morning that Jesus had some simple instructions. And his instructions really are bound up in one word, and that is the word go. Jesus said that I want you to go. In this particular story, it was to the other side of the sea, unto Bethsaida. You know, when you search the Bible and search the scriptures, you'll find out that Jesus has simple instructions from cover to cover. The Lord says, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He says, Go and baptize. He says, Go and teach. You'll find also in the Bible that he'll say, and he says, Go find a church or go to the specific church I have for you. He says, Go and raise your family. Go and raise your kids. Go and love your spouse. Jesus has instructions to us in the scriptures. Go and read your Bible. Go and pray to the Father. And so we see in this account that he had instructions, and they were simple instructions. Again, he said, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And I want to say there's a period there. That's all that Jesus said was to go. And this morning, that's what Jesus is telling us. We're to go and preach the gospel. We're to go and teach all nations. We're to go and baptize. We're to go and be a parent. We're to go and be a spouse. That's the instructions that Jesus gives. They're plain, simple instructions, and that is to go. But I want you to notice in verse number 46, we see Jesus instructed his disciples to go in verse 45. But then in verse number 46, we see the disciples were obedient and went. In verse 46, he says, "And when he, had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." And so we see that these disciples, they were obedient and went. And when he had sent them away. In other words, they took these simple instructions and they went. Every time that the Lord gives us instructions, it's always an opportunity to trust and obey. Many times we'll find ourselves questioning God. God, why do you want us to go? Lord, why do you want us to come here? Why do you want us to go there? Why do you want us to go this route? Lord, why have you called me to do this? Why have you called them to do that? Really, at the end of the day, it's an opportunity to trust this Lord, this Savior of ours, in his sovereign providential plan, whatever that may be, to go and trust and obey. So we see that they took these simple instructions in verse 45, and in verse number 46, they fleshed it out. They went, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Let us all understand this morning that Jesus' instructions are simple. Jesus gives direction, and he puts light on our pathway step by step by step. And so now we see that they're going, they're trusting, and they're obeying. But notice something else in verse number 47. Not only Jesus instructed his disciples to go, we see the disciples were obedient and went. But in verse number 47, we see the presence of a storm in the absence of Jesus. How about that? Look what he says in verse 47. This is after they went. "And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land." Now, you don't have to turn there, but for a reference verse in Matthew chapter 14, verse number 24, the Bible says at this particular time that they were being tossed in the sea by the wind. The wind creating waves and the ship being in the midst of the sea and being tossed. They are simply in the storm now, in the midst of the sea. But Jesus is nowhere to be found. So they received instruction in verse 45. In verse number 46, they obeyed. And then in verse number 47, now they're in the middle of the sea and Jesus is absent. I got to thinking about this particular situation on the timeline and their journey from one side of the sea to the other. And by chance, if those disciples could speak at this particular time, my thought would be this, that something one of them might say, "Lord, you told us to go to the other side, but you did not say anything about a storm in the middle." And even my own questions as I read these verses in harmony with the other Gospels, I got to wondering, well, the Lord didn't say anything about a storm being along the way. Why is that this morning? Why didn't the Lord say in verse number 45, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side. And by the way, disciples, you will encounter the storm of your life." I'll tell you why the Lord didn't put that in that verse. And I'll tell you why the Lord doesn't tell us some things behind the scenes, as we step by step by faith, trust in him. Because if the Lord would have told his disciples there was a storm coming, they may not have obeyed the Lord. And if the Lord was to tell us after we say yes to a specific ministry or say yes to a certain job or say yes to a certain situation, we feel impressed to go and commit to. And if the Lord said, oh, by the way, the bottom's going to fall out when you say yes to it. How apt would we be to follow through with obedience? Not that apt. Not that apt. You want to know why? Because we are human people. We are people living in human flesh, and we have feelings, and we have emotions, and we have difficulties wrestling with our flesh. And so the Lord just plainly told them, I'm instructing you to get into the ship and go to the other side. They were obedient, but in the midst of their obedience came a storm. The Lord didn't tell them about this storm. If he did, they may have resisted and stayed on the side previous to the other side. And if they did not go through with going to the other side, they would be in a backslid state, not going to the other side. And so the Lord just plainly said, get into the ship and go to the other side. They went, and now there's a storm. I want to say this morning that Jesus gives specific instruction, simple instruction. And when we're dealing with hardships and we're handling the hardships of life, there are some essential elements to go by. And that is, whatever Jesus says, just do it. I think one of the reasons why storms are created and we struggle so hard in life is because we try to make sense out of the storm. Well, maybe I shouldn't have said yes to this specific situation. Maybe I should have said no when, in actuality, I said yes. If I would have said no, maybe this wouldn't be happening right now. I like what the old preacher said. He said one time that if it's the will of God for me to be in Afghanistan on the front line shooting a rifle, if that's the perfect will of God, I am safer there than being out of the will of God in Powder Springs, Georgia. As strange as that is, and as hard as that sounds to really live out, that's the truth this morning. We are to just trust the Lord with His instructions. And when He says go, we are to go, and we're to leave all of the other, of the contents and the context up to Him that's in the middle of the situation. Jesus' instruction, He told them to go, and they went. Then when they went, they saw that there was a storm. They were in the midst of the storm, and Jesus was absent. Possibly they felt as though Jesus abandoned them because of this storm. Have you ever felt abandoned in life, or at least have been tempted to feel like the Lord has abandoned you in your situation? You've trusted Him, and you knew at one time He wanted you to step forth and go, and you did, and now there's these problems or this situation, and because Jesus hasn't intervened when you wanted Him to, you feel abandoned. Maybe they feel abandoned because they're in this ship, they followed instructions, and now they're in the storm, and Jesus is nowhere to be found. This morning, one essential element for handling hardships is just simply trusting His instruction. Don't make sense out of it. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs 3. Take Him at His word and just go for it. There's a second thing I want to mention. Not only we see Jesus' instruction, but secondly, in verse number 48, I want you to notice, we see Jesus' identification. Verse 45 through 47 deals with His instruction, but verse number 48 deals with Jesus' identification. Verse 48, He says this, and He saw them, amen, and He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. We see here that Jesus identified who they were. Now, they were in the midst of the storm, and the Bible says that they were toiling and rowing. The word toiling here means torture. It means torment. It means pain or fatigue. And so these men were literally fatigued, and they were in torture. They were being tormented and exhausted by this rowing, and they were rowing to the point of exhaustion, rowing and toiling in the midst of the sea. They were trying to do their best to counter the storm, to counteract this storm and get an upper hand on the situation. But the Bible says that, "And when he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by." So we have them and Jesus seeing them in their condition. They said okay, they followed his plan, his instruction, they got into the ship, now they're in a storm. Jesus nowhere to be found, and they feel as though they've been abandoned. They're toiling and they're rowing to the point of fatigue and exhaustion. But wait a minute. Although they could not sense him and could not see him, he saw them. Verse 48, "And he saw them toiling and rowing." While in their fatigue and while in their exhaustion, they could not see him. They could not sense him, but Jesus saw them. How many times in life do we feel that way? "Lord, we followed your plan. We listened to your instruction, but it's dark, Lord. There's a storm in my life and things are taking place. There's hardship. And Lord, I'm at the point of fatigue and exhaustion. It feels like I'm going to die. Where are you, Lord, in my situation? Why haven't you walked upon the waters to me? Why, Lord, have you not calmed my stormy sea?" Let us all remember something in life. While we may be going through a storm, I know we want our storm settled and we want peace immediately. But there's one thing about it. He may show up and calm our seas, but he always sees our seas. And sometimes it doesn't matter if he calms them or not, as long as he sees what's going on. I can remember, not long ago, actually, when Lily was, she was sick with something, a cold or something or another, and or something may have happened at school, she got hurt, and she came home and she said, "Dad, I don't feel good, I'm experiencing this," and crying and upset, and, you know, I pampered her and loved on her, and but you know what? After I pampered her and loved on her, she was still hurting. Many days she was still hurting. But you know what? In the midst of her hurt, I was with her. And she still was able to produce a smile. She was still able to go back to school. And I think sometimes in life, that's how the Lord treats us. You know, sometimes he does come along and he calms those rough waters. But I think other times he allows us to realize that he sees us in our situation. I mean, according to Scripture, we can trust the Scripture where David said in Psalm 139, "He knows my downsittings and he knows my uprisings and he understands my thoughts afar off." I think sometimes the Lord just allows us to reach out and by faith grasp the fact that he sees us. "Lord, I can't feel you, and Lord, the storm is raging on, but according to your word, you see me." Sometimes, as I said, as we were welcoming the church this morning, the Lord does allow emotions to accompany salvation at times. And the Lord allows us, and he scrooches up to us in our lap, and or we in his lap, rather, and we love each other. There's a close harmony and a fellowship and going through our storms and trials. It's like when I would show affection to Lily. She was still sick and still hurting, going back to school, but she was still able to produce a smile. Sometimes in life when we're undergoing hardship and we're struggling and we're trying to produce and there's fatigue there, sometimes the Lord allows the storm to rage, but it's an opportunity for us to embrace by faith that he knows where we're at. He sees us toiling. He sees us rowing. He knows what we're doing. This morning, the Lord is fully aware of what's going on in your life. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, no matter how big the struggle is or how well life is, God knows about it. He saw these disciples. They were in the midst of the sea and being tossed with the wind and the waves. But yet the Bible says, and he saw them toiling and rowing. And you don't have to turn there. I'll give it to you. But in Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 5, notice what this phrase says. When Jesus saw their faith. Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. In Matthew chapter number 20 and verse number 32, the Bible says that Jesus stood still. I want to say this morning that one element of handling hardships has everything to do with realizing that Jesus sees us. Jesus sees us. If he has stood still by these two blind men who are praising the Lord for being healed, the Bible says he stood still, then he also can stand still in our life and see our praise. In Matthew 9:36, if he was moved with compassion, seeing those without a shepherd, you know the Lord is moved with compassion in our life when he sees us in our condition. And then in Mark 2:5, when Jesus saw their faith, Jesus as well can see our faith. No doubt this morning, Jesus, in his identification, Jesus saw them in their condition. And he sees us as well in our condition this morning. Notice something else in verse 48. Not only Jesus saw them in their condition, but Jesus showed in their situation. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Now, the Bible mentions fourth watch of the night, and many believe, and if you study the Bible, you'll know there's different watches, different time frames, 3 hours apart in the Jewish day. But the fourth watch has to do with that time frame between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., which is believed to be the darkest time in their day. Let me say this morning. If Jesus showed up after Jesus instructed them to go to the other side, and if there was a storm there, and if they were encountering that storm, and they were in fear of that storm, and Jesus showed up in the darkest part of their night, Jesus will show up in the darkest part of our situation as well. I mean, listen, you may feel like you have been abandoned. You may have felt like and feel like currently that you have missed God. And listen, there are times where we have to self-examine and to see whether it was something that we wanted to do in life or something that God initiated. But it's not to be confused. But we may feel like God has abandoned us. You may feel like God has allowed you to slip through his fingers, or you have missed his will and he is wiping his hands with you and you're done. That ain't the kind of Lord we serve. Because I've found out the good decisions I make, the Lord's there. The bad decisions I make, the Lord's there. Whether I am stepping on the water or sinking in the water, the Lord's there. And the Lord has a way of seeing us in our toiling, in our rowing, our good decisions and our bad decisions. He has a way of showing up right on time. And by the way, if we feel like he's late, he's still on time. Because when he raised Lazarus from the dead, they've already given him up to the grave diggers. 4 days late, wrapped up in grave clothes. We see Jesus' identification. And he saw them toiling and rowing. Listen, that will help you this morning. To know that while men may overlook you and while people may fail you, there's a God in heaven that knows. Let me mention something else. Not only that, Jesus' identification in verse 48, Jesus' instruction in verse 45 through 47, But in verse number 49 through 52, we see the disciples' ignorance. The disciples had some ignorance about themselves. I want you to notice two things. Number one, their ignorance had to do with perception. In verse 49, the Bible says this. But when they saw, notice that word or words, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. The disciples' ignorance here had to do with a perception that was wrong. Because it said that they saw him, in verse 49, walking upon the sea, and they supposed. The word supposed here means seemed. And I want to say something this morning. A lot of things can seem like one thing and be something else. And so these disciples, when they were in the middle of this storm, they saw this, what they thought was a spirit walking upon the waters, and it seemed or it supposed that it was a spirit, and because of that, they were troubled. We see a perception dealing with their ignorance. They supposed it was a spirit. It seemed like it was a spirit, and it had a lot to do with the situation they were in. They were in a storm. I want to say this morning that sometimes in life situations, we have a different vantage point. We have a different perception because of the storm. Sometimes things seem different than they really are. Sometimes you'll find out in life storms that sometimes it seems as though no one loves us. Sometimes it seems as though no one cares about you. Sometimes it seems that you're left out. But you see, according to this story, there are some things that seemed one way, but in all actuality are very different. The way things seem versus the way things really are. We are vulnerable in storms. We are susceptible to being hurt in times of hardship when our bodies are failing us and our emotions are down and we're not feeling well. We are vulnerable and things seem to be one way when they actually aren't. And so we see here that the disciples, their perception was different. They seemed or it supposed it was a spirit. They failed to see Jesus in the situation. I remember another story over in the book of Acts. Those two saddened disciples on the road to Emmaus, they were walking and they were talking together. Heads were down and they were saddened because the crucifixion had happened, and they didn't realize or seen yet the resurrected Savior, and they were so saddened and downtrodden. Someone came up beside them and started speaking to them the things of God, beginning at Moses, expounding the Scriptures. And then after a while, their hearts were warmed, and they knew it was the Lord. But for a short time, they didn't know who that was walking with them. But keep in mind, it was during a time of discouragement and depression. Yet Jesus was with them. And he was walking with them and talking with them. They were blinded because of their discouragement. And these disciples, they were blinded because of the storm. And I said those two things to say this, that before you rule out Jesus in the equation that may be up to something in your situation, let us all recognize and see that the Lord could possibly be doing something. You may be here and be discouraged this morning, but the Lord may be doing something. You could be depressed this morning and barely made it to church, bewildered, let down by man, given up by man, and listen, and all of those things. But could it be that the Lord has allowed things to transpire as they are so that you might embrace the Scriptures that say, He knows my down-sitting, He knows my uprising. I don't care what man's going to do to me. I don't fear what this world can do to me. Whether I feel God or not doesn't change how I feel about Him, because the Scriptures say He's with me. And I want to say this morning, when you get to that place in your life where you can't feel Him, and He feels like He's a million miles away, and all you have is simple faith to reach out and say, "Yes, Lord, You say You're with me," you are on the brink of a clear day. I say that because I believe the Lord is wanting to mature our faith into the Word of God alone. These disciples, they were toiling and rowing in their storm. They followed His instruction. They couldn't see Him, but He could see them. This morning, to do us all some good, to just reach out and grab the Scriptures and rest our weary heads of knowing that Jesus knows where we're at. He knows what we're doing. Well, they had a perception. They thought it was a spirit. They didn't know it was the Lord. They were vulnerable, the same vulnerability these other two disciples in Acts had. They were depressed and discouraged, yet Jesus was in disguise. He was right there with them. Notice something else. Not only that, in verse 49 and 50, verse 49, but when they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw Him and were troubled. And immediately He talked with them and saith unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. But in verse number 52, we see that second thing, that second aspect of their ignorance. It had to do with perception, but it also had to do with consideration. In verse number 52, the Bible says this, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves." They didn't consider what God just did, because if they did, that would have helped them not be afraid in the storm. But hold on a second. I want you to look at the word "considered" here. The word "considered" means to put together, but it also can mean to connect the dots. You remember growing up, you had to connect the dot worksheets where there was a picture there, but you had to start the starting line and go up this way and that way and that way and that way. And then about halfway through, oh yeah, that's a stop sign. And then you know, all this and all. Connecting the dots. This word "considered" means to connect the dots. It means to consider or put together. Keep in mind, these disciples has been with Jesus for a while. And they've seen Him heal the sick. And they've seen Him, of course, take the two fish and the five loaves. And so the Bible says, for they considered. They didn't connect the dots. And I believe in life sometimes the reason why we sink and we crumble in the middle of trials and storms is because we don't connect the dots. Well, this storm is just like the last storm. It may be in a different size. It may be in a different in variation. It may be different in color and theme. But we have trusted Jesus and His instruction, and we have launched out. And yes, there's a storm, but it is part of the connected dots picture. You see, because the Lord is wanting ultimately for us to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so in our life, there is the image of Jesus. And each storm in our life is connecting a dot with the last storm and His faithfulness. Storm, trouble, faithfulness. Storm, trouble, faithfulness. Storm, trouble, faithfulness. That's the theme of the Christian life. Paul says in Romans 8:28, "For we know that all things work together for good to them who are the called according to His purpose." But it also goes on to say who are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Jesus is in a process of making us suitable for heaven. We're suitable for heaven through salvation, but He is in the process of conforming us to the image of His Son. And it takes trials, it takes storms, it takes adversity. But one essential element this morning to consider when it comes to handling hardships has to do with considering what God has done. Let me ask you a question this morning, and we'll bring it to a close in just a moment. What was it 1 year ago that had you troubled that you did not think you will make it through. Let me ask you, did you make it? You did, because you're here. You may not be hitting on all cylinders. Every limb may not be working. Whatever. But guess what? You're here. You're here, and I'm here. And if Jesus is connecting the dots, and if He is allowing us to go through storms, opportunity to trust Him, regardless if we feel Him or not, then He is merely putting us to another test to conform us and to make our faith more pure. For they consider not the miracle of the loaves. They put the pieces of the puzzle, or rather, they did not put the pieces of the puzzle together. Therefore, they thought they were abandoned and going under. One more thing. There's a last phrase here in verse 52. It says, for their heart was hardened. For they consider not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. I do not believe their hearts were hardened due to sin. The word hardened here has to do with blinded. What I do believe is, I believe that their hearts had not yet developed equally to their faith. Or their faith had not yet matured and developed to where God wanted it to. For they consider not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened, or their heart was blinded, or their faith was not yet cultivated and mature enough to consider the loaves so that they might make it through the storm. Let me say this, and we'll bring it to a close. I believe that God wants our faith to mature and blossom and grow and develop, so that when we are in the storm, we can embrace His Word and know He's with us and know He has a purpose, but also that we can reflect back on other victories He brought us through and that be sufficient. But we have to have a faith that is developed. In 1 John, turn if you would briefly to 1 John chapter 4. We'll leave you with this, verse 18. 1 John 4, verse 18. This is dealing with love. This is dealing with fear and faith. Bible says, for they consider not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They didn't consider it because they had not yet possessed a mature faith. 1 John 4, 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. What does that mean? Well, I like to look at that word perfect. For there is no fear in love, but perfect love. The word perfect means developed or matured or reached the mark to full capacity. In other words, there is no fear in love, but matured love or developed love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Here's what he's saying. When we get to the place of realizing how much the Lord loves us, that ought to dispel all fear. It ought to push out all fear. But you see, the process is what's painful. Because we encounter these hardships and we encounter these difficulties and we question at times, do you love me? Carest not thou, Master, that we perish. We know that, but we learn to know that by experience. And when that trial is over and we know that the Lord loved us, and not just because the Bible says so, although that's sufficient, but we now have experiential knowledge that the Lord loves us. Because not only does the Bible say He loves us, but we made it through this storm, which proves He loves us. He has guided us and leaded us. Guess what happens now? Our faith in His love for us has matured. So that when the next storm comes and we're out in the middle of nowhere and we feel vulnerable from Satan's attacks, we feel like man has failed us, we can rear back and say, devil, do what you want to. We know we're loved by Jesus. come sink or swim, come high water, come the devil and his assaults. It doesn't matter whether we feel them or not. We're going to live for God. That's matured love. Well, guess what? It takes a few trials to get there. It takes a few hardships to get there. Where you can stand on top of Mount Carmel and call fire down from heaven. But I want to say this morning as we stand to our feet, the Lord is priming and the Lord is positioning all of us for power. He has proven His love for us on the cross, but He has now proven His love for you and me through the storms and hardships of life so that we might accept the truth of His Word and look back on it and know that we grew in that trial and now we're positioned when we need that prayer through. We know He loves us. We call it down and we move forward with fervency and passion. That's where the Lord wants us to be. And I praise the Lord for the Lord doing that in a lot of our lives. Lord, we love You. We thank You this morning. We praise You for who You are, Lord. Just some essential elements for life's hardships. I pray that we would glean some things from these verses, Lord. Pray You'll deal with Your people in a very soft and tenderly way like You always do. And we'll praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.